Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study of Psalm 11, verses 1 through 3. We don't title these studies, but if we were to give this one a title, it would be, If the Foundations Be Destroyed, as we spend the last half of our study on verse 3, and we discuss what it means, the implications, and the importance of defending and standing on the foundation of Christianity, which is our King James Bible in English, and its words and truth. So stay tuned for more on that, but if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Psalm 11, verses 1 through 3. This is part 1 of 2.
On January the 3rd, as part of my reading, my Bible reading, and I'd also already been taking some notes and everything, well, then my laptop decided to die, and I'm thankful that it died Friday, because that gave me plenty of time to then dive into Psalm 11 and get the rest of my notes and everything ready. I had some good stuff for Philippians 3, but it's evergreen. You ever heard? You know what I mean when I say something's evergreen? It means it's not dated, and I'll pick right up with what I had whenever I get the new laptop and get it up and running. So, Psalm 11, if you'd like to join me in prayer, we'll begin our study. Father, we thank you for everyone who is here. We thank you for the Psalms. They're so wonderful that they're balanced, there's positive, there's negative, all truth. Many warnings, many Bible prophecies, many words of encouragement, and a lot of praise of our one true God. We love the Psalms. We just ask as we study that you'll help us. And Lord, I can explain the things that you've laid on my heart as I study. But the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. He can teach beyond anything I say up here. And so we just ask that all of us would be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we would rightly divide the word of truth, and you could not only bless us, but we could be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 11. I want to start by reading, it's only 7 verses, so I want everybody, if you would, we're going to read it together. I will read the odd, which is fitting, amen? And then you join me in the even, and we'll get through all the 7 verses. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest, this shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. As you read those with me, I can think you can understand why I'm going to tell you this, but I'm not going to get through the entire psalm. Not this morning. We'll pick up. It's just, as I was thinking about these things that we want to talk about, it's too important to just skip and hop through these things. There's two kinds of preachers that drive me crazy. One that park on a word for about 6 weeks. Others that just hop, skip, and jump. And you're thinking, boy, that left me kind of hungry for more. Right? There's something more there. And of course, there's others who pretend to claim to be preachers, and they just will take a word out of one verse and just go off anywhere with it. And they'll drive you crazy too. But what we're going to do is just go through the first few verses here. Beginning verse 1, It says, "In the Lord put I my trust." Right there, a lot of us just have to admit we need to repent. A lot of us fail to put our trust in the Lord. And I'm not up here browbeating you. I'm telling you that all of us, I believe all of us, you may not admit it, but I will. There are times where I don't put my trust in the Lord the way I ought to. There's something very human about it, but it's not right. That doesn't make it right. But there's something very human about kind of losing your cool whenever certain things happen. Some things happen and you just get frazzled. I have my mom's side of the family, that my aunts used to call it having a hissy fit. And all of us can get there. What's funny too is there's some people who, you know, well, not me, I'm just cool as a cucumber. Yeah, you just brag like that for a little while, and then all of a sudden you're going to be put in a situation and the whole world's going to see that you lose it. So if you're like that, if you're cool as a cucumber, I would just keep it to yourself and let others brag for you. Amen?
Amen.
That's biblical. That's a proverb. It says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" That is exactly what we should do. If the mountain that we're talking about is God's mountain. That is exactly what we should do. Some of us have got ourselves in our own messes.
Yeah.
And so what we should do is flee to God. And it doesn't mean run from your problems. Don't take me wrong. I'm not telling you to cause a problem, make a big stink, and then run away and let someone else clean it up. What I'm saying is, you make a big mess, you ought to want to clean it up. And you ought to turn to the Lord and allow Him to help you clean up the mess. It all comes back to who you trust. And a lot of people put too much trust in themselves. And you can't hardly blame people these days. That's what everybody's taught to do. Almost every time there's a champion now, I don't care if it's professional or amateur. I don't care if it's an individual sport or a team sport. And they always have the, you know, the models, you know, the good-looking women out there on the field to ask questions. Huh? The sideline girl? I guess you'd call her that, but sometimes it's not a sideline. It's like on golf courses and places like that. But anyway, when you listen to them, you can tell they've scripted what they're asking. And sometimes you can tell they really don't know what they're talking about. They're out there for obvious reasons, and it's not because of their expertise.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
But it almost seems like now the canned answer is for people to say, well, you know, let me just do a little imitation here. Your team just came through so much. You overcame such obstacles. There's, you know, it's a chick. She wants drama. Oh, and you had so much to overcome. How did your team come together and do this? And the answer is almost always, because we just believed in each other. Have you noticed that? That's, yeah. We just believed. And you actually have seen it in the stands. People with a big sign. We believe. We believe. And they really, it's a superstition, folks. And they really believe that they believe, and that's why they're winning. I've got news for you. You can believe all you want and lose. You had better perform. You had better execute. Imagine those same players at practice. And the coach is like, come on, guys. You look terrible. Let's do these drills again. Let's run these plays. I want to see this done right. You guys are slow. You're getting off the ball slow. And the team says, Coach, it doesn't matter. We're going to win because we believe. That's when the coach uses profanity. A lot of times. That's when Woody would have. Why? Because you don't believe your way to championships. You're just going to believe and pass that test, Johnny. Just going to believe. Jill walks in and says, Johnny, don't you have a test tomorrow? I thought you were going to study. Oh, Mom, settle down. I'm going to pass the test because I believe. I'm asking you, when you hear this stuff, I'm not. It's like the T-shirt says. You got to ask yourself, is that someone's opinion or is that based in fact? Is that someone's opinion or is that God's Word? Because opinions are like noses. Most of us have one. Amen? And the same thing's true when it comes to, there are people who say, I believe in God. I believe God. My faith is in God. Okay, that sounds good, but then you talk to them about situations, about particulars, and suddenly you find out that their opinion overrides God. And that means they're not really trusting the Lord. They're trusting their own opinion. I can't remember if it was Janice that brought it up this morning, but we've talked on a number of occasions about these books and these movies that come out where people go to heaven. And they come back telling the story about when they went to heaven. And by the way, there was a young man just up here outside of Bell Fountain a few years ago who he was a little boy. He told a story about he got really, I think he was maybe in a car wreck or got sick, I can't remember, but he'd supposed to have clinically been pronounced dead. And when he came back to, he told this story about going to heaven while he was dead. And he told it was a detailed story about what he had seen in heaven. And his parents and the church he attended put together and put it in a book and sold the book. Well, there was a pastor up there, most of you know, Walt Mansfield, and he's preached for us a couple of times. And Walt tried to reason with those people and say, listen, it can't be true because things he said contradict the Scripture. And they did not care. And they kept pushing that book. And that poor kid spent years lying. Because he now was under the pressure of all these adults. A book being sold. Talks about a movie. I don't think they ever did make a movie on his. But his book was a bestseller for a while. Can't remember the name of it. You can look it up. I can't remember how old he was. But just a few years ago he came out and said, it wasn't true. How many people think walked up to Walt and said, you know, we're sorry? And why did those people... The thing is that bothered him, Walt, and bothers me when I see this, is that isn't the fact that people believe this stuff, it's that when you go to them with Scripture and you say, wait a minute, this is what the Bible says, and that testimony from that boy is contradicting the Bible... Then as a Christian, you're supposed to be a Bible believer. And you're supposed to say, oh, well then, the Bible's true. That can't be true. That's not what people do. How many times you heard these stories about people going to heaven and when they describe Jesus, he sounds like, Charlie with long hair. You know, they describe he's a tall, dark and handsome. Just like Charlie. Well, sometimes they'll say he does, but not always. But the problem is, yeah, when Jesus was on the earth, I believe he was dark because he was in the sun all the time. He probably had olive skin to begin with and so just got really dark when he, not any particular race of dark. He's Jew, but he was dark. I doubt that he was blonde hair and blue-eyed. I think he probably had dark hair. He may look like Charlie with a tan. But the point is this. He don't look like that anymore. Revelation chapter 1 tells us what he looks like. Hair white like wool. If he did have blue eyes, he'd kind of look more like Jenny than Charlie. So you hear these stories about there's a late one out now where the little boy sits on the little girl claimed to sit on Jesus' lap in heaven. And that's how they sell books right there.
He sat on Jesus' lap. I want one. $25. Okay, here's my check.
And then when they describe Jesus, it's not the Jesus that we know, because the Bible tells us. Then verse 2 in Psalm 11 continues on and says, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." And what I believe, if you look closely at what it's saying there, is that if you trust in the Lord unreservedly, then you're going to find yourself on the wrong end of their darts, their arrows. And that's what happened with Walt dealing with that. Now, it says the wicked, and you say, "Well, are you calling those people wicked?" If you're contradicting the Word of God and standing against people who are just standing up and saying this is wrong, then you have joined yourself with the wicked. At least on that point, until you repent. And what did they do? Then they start slandering the guy who's trying to point out what the Bible says. And you ever hear somebody say, you know, "Your pastor's a nut"? Don't disagree with them. Just ask them what they mean. "What do you mean?" "I think he's kind of nutty too, but that's part of what, you know, part of his charm." "But what do you mean?" And they might tell you, you know, we've had people send in the emails, the voicemails and everything, and say, "Oh, I'm going to go to all your people and tell them exactly." I said, "You don't have to tell them that. They heard it last week in the sermon." People say, "You're nutty. Why?" You ask them why, and then ask, well, A, is the accusation true? Did he actually say that? B, then is that nutty or is that Bible? And if you find out it's nutty and not Bible, then yeah, you should reject what Greg just said. Amen. Amen. I've got no problem with that. But the arrow thing is like this. Okay, let's say they shoot that arrow and you find out that I was preaching Bible. And so you say, "Well, I stand with my preacher. He's preaching the Bible." The problem is, like an arrow, once it goes in, there's always going to be a hole there.
Yeah.
And a lot of blood, stain the clothes and everything.
Yeah.
And while you may test it and find out that he's not really nutty on that point, there are a whole lot of other people who don't.
Yeah.
So then that gets spread. And more people look at your pastor like he's a nut.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not going to stop. As time goes on, I will look nuttier and nuttier and nuttier.
Amen.
Amen. But I got news for you. If you stand with the biblical truth, your family and your friends are going to think of you more and more as time goes on as nuttier and nuttier.
Yeah.
Yep.
And to your behind your back, to your friends and your family, they're going to shoot arrows.
Yep.
And that's why it's so important to have such a strong trust in the Lord. I love every one of you. But if any or all of you were to totally walk away from the Lord, I'm still not going to walk away from Jesus. If any or all of you were to turn on me and say bad things and all that, you know, start a web page and exposing Greg Miller and all that. And I have plenty of people do that. They're out on YouTube, you know, exposing Greg Miller, rebuking Greg Miller and all this stuff. And you know what? It isn't affecting me and Jesus one bit.
Amen.
The Lord didn't do any of those things. The Lord isn't a problem. People are. So that's why it says, "In the Lord put I my trust." Never in the Bible does it tell you, how many of you heard people, you have to believe in people.
Yeah.
No. No, I don't say this to insult anybody, but I don't believe in any of you.
Amen.
I believe in the Lord, and I know as long as you are trusting and following His Word, then I can count on you.
Amen.
But at a moment's notice, I've seen people turn. At a moment's notice, I've seen women walk out on their men. I've seen men walk out on their women. I've seen pastors, almost a moment's notice, just throw it in the air.
Yeah.
And I no way tell you this to like prep you. I'm not planning on doing that. But what if I did? What if you came in here next week and found out I was a big fraud? After you punched me, what would you do? You should continue following the Lord. You shouldn't have been following me any further than I follow Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
Even the Apostle Paul could have chosen to walk away. Would have been a whole different Bible. Amen?
Amen.
But he could have. And what would we do? We just continue to follow Christ.
Amen.
And that's why it's so fitting that verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed. Read that with me. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want to run some references. We're going to read some Bible here for the next few minutes. First of all, I want you to turn a few pages over to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. We're going to read three verses that ought to be, or you should consider marking in your Bible for reference. Proverbs 3. We'll read beginning in verse 5. And some of you will say, well, I've heard this before. Well, pay close attention. A lot of times we quote these verses and they kind of become too familiar. Proverbs 3, give everybody a chance to get there. Beginning in verse 5. Let's read just 5 and 6. Read that with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
And I say amen with you, but I'll tell you, that's one of the hardest things right there for us as Christians to do.
Amen.
To trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. I mean, let's just be honest. Most of us constantly lean on our own understanding. I am constantly, and I'm not complaining here, and I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying that in conversations, in email, in text messages, and whatever, conversations outside of here, whatever, people are always coming to me with questions and such, and a lot of times it has to do with the world or it has to do with someone they know. And they're always leaning on their own understanding. And we have to say, trust the Lord. Here's an example. If a baby dies, we've had actually in the news several children either murdered or killed, accidents or whatever. And why I became very convinced of this was when a friend of mine, there's a couple who lost a little baby girl. And it was when Mariah was a little baby. And several people came to me and said, well, what do you think happens when a baby like dies like that? Well, I could give my opinion, but at the time I couldn't really speak biblically. So I started digging, studying. And folks, there's answers. We're not guessing. I've heard people say, well, it's all a matter of opinion. No, I believe the Bible is clear. Where there is no law, there's no sin.
Amen.
That baby was not guilty of sin. She was innocent. And if we look to Scripture, the example of David, when his baby died, a baby that had been conceived in adultery. And yet he said that when that baby died, he was fasting as the baby was sick. And he was praying. He wouldn't eat, wouldn't talk. But when that baby died, he got up, got dressed, and ate. And they came in and said, well, when the baby was ill, you were fasting and wouldn't talk or anything. And now the baby's dead and you act like, you know, back to business as usual. And he said, because at the time I thought maybe the Lord would have mercy and allow the baby to die. But now that the baby's dead, I know where he is. He cannot come to me, but I will go to him.
Amen.
That means the baby's in heaven at that moment.
Amen.
And so I can look anybody in the eye who's had an abortion, a miscarriage, I don't care what it is, and I will look them in the eye and tell them that I believe once that baby's heart started beating, that baby became a baby. It's not a blob of tissue.
Amen.
And if you want to look, just so you understand what I'm saying, is upon conception, the actual system, what do you call it, the blood system, the circulatory system, and the tiniest little heartbeat. And from that point on, I believe, and I got to say this because people say, well, I believe they become a living soul when they're born and take the first breath like Adam. No. Adam's not your example. Adam was a grown man. Adam doesn't have a belly button. You mark that down, we're going to get to heaven and find out. He didn't have an umbilical cord. Your babies in the womb are not the same as Adam, so you can't say, like some people do, that the baby's life begins when he takes the first breath. No. The oxygen is in the blood, so they're already breathing scientifically and technically. Just from the blood. And if that baby dies, and before, and there's another thing I got to mention. There's no such thing as an age of accountability. Every child is different. Some children understand at an earlier age than others. The thing is, as a parent especially, what you want to do is recognize your child's ability to understand, and at that point begin encouraging them to consider their salvation. But up until that point, whatever point that is for the child, if that child dies, that child goes to be with the Lord. Now, when people, I've seen people go up to preachers. That was before I was preaching. And I've seen people go up to preachers and ask that question, and the preachers say, well, we just can't know. Well, you're an ignoramus. We can know. You know what's worse? I've met preachers and I've met Christians who call themselves Calvinists who will actually tell the child's mother it's according to whether the child was elect. And if that child was not elect, it's in hell right now. Boldly and brazenly telling that nonsense. That's why I tell you, folks, what you believe matters. And it better not be your opinion, because that's what most of Calvinism is based on, opinion. It's not based on the clear teaching of Scripture. And our opinions don't matter.
Amen.
What thus saith the Lord matters.
Amen.
And now you get the idea. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let me tell you something. You destroy the Bible in the eyes and the minds of your people. You can't destroy the Bible. But you can destroy the faith that a person has in the Bible. And you can put out corrupt, perverted Bibles. NIV, ESV, anything from the Codex Vaticanus, anything from the United Bible Society's text is a perverted Bible. It destroys the foundation. And once you do that, you and I as Christians become no better than the pagan. We don't really have a solid foundation. And it's just kind of like, well, my grandma always said, throw salt over your shoulder. My grandma said, don't ever open an umbrella indoors. I see a black cat cross my path, I do a U-turn, brother, I'm telling you right now.